And you know, just think how easy it is to encourage another person. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to go out and work 40 hours a week and to say something encouraging. And just think, when you are encouraging, what are you doing? You are making deposits that's building a healthy relationship.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships?
Because we have the scriptures that are written in your notes. But first, be a good listener. Be a good listener. He that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. Proverbs 18:13. So if I'm talking and you're trying to talk, then that means neither one of us are listening. Right? If I'm talking, if I'm talking, and then as soon as I get finished talking, you unload everything that's in your spirit, then you know what that tells me? You weren't listening. You weren't listening. Now, I would say, we can get to your stuff, right? But listen. And so, be people in relationship. You have to develop good listening skills. Now, you know, I can't get into everything in this message, but you could go online and type in listening skills. You can Google or Yahoo listening skills, and it will tell you, give you some good listening skills. But if you're going to be in a relationship, you need to have good listening skills. The next thing that we see is you got to be open to hear the hard things. If you're in a relationship, you know, you got to be open to hear the hard things. You know, most people don't want to hear the hard things. You know, that's just the way that we're wired. When something hard has to be dealt with, we bristle up. We protect ourselves. And we put up our shield because we don't want to hear it. But Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." That with somebody that loves you, somebody that cares for you, somebody that got your back. See, that's why, you know, and I know a lot of us in here, you know, we have it together and, you know, we got it going on. And sometimes when we talk to people outside of here, maybe family members or coworkers, you know, and we're trying, I said that facetiously now, okay, so, all right. But we should, to some degree, have it together. Just say that you're dealing with somebody in your family that's an alcoholic, or they're dealing with drugs. And you got to say the hard things to them. And when you say the hard things, it's not because you're trying to be mean, and it's not because you're trying to be nasty, but you're saying the hard things because you love them. Because you love them. And you might bring wounds. And so a lot of times, and we need to be ready for this, what do? They shut you off. They shut you off. Oh, here you go again. That's why I don't come around you. Here you go talking about that again, right? But you're not saying that because you're mean, and you're not saying that because you're trying to tear them down and belittle them and ground them to powder. That's not why you're doing it. You're doing it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So if we look at that situation with people who are in that lifestyle, and we know how we feel when they reject us, how do you think somebody that loves you, and it might not be drugs, It might not be alcohol, but they come and address you on something hard. Then you, right, you get defensive. And then you get angry. And then you start fighting back. And here the scripture says that these wounds are there to help you. But we, you know, again, you know, we don't like to hear the hard things. I'll be honest with you, I don't like to hear the hard things. Really don't. And so, you know, I think that's something, now I'm just going to say me, because I, you know, maybe y'all got it together and y'all all right on this, so y'all just pray for your pastor, right? Because y'all got it together. But, you know, man, that when the hard issues have to be talked about and the hard issues have to be addressed, that the first thing, it's just like there's a viper down inside of us. And that as soon as that is brought up, that viper comes up like this. Keep on talking. Keep on talking. I had just about enough. And we spray out that venom because it's hard. So, you know, if we're in relationship, you know, sometimes there has to be addressing the hard things. Next, be open to correction. The ear that heareth reproof, the reproof of life, abideth among the wise. Be teachable. Have a teachable spirit. You know, be able to receive correction, receive instruction. Oh, this next one, have thick skin. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron is pretty tough. Iron is pretty tough. And if you got iron sharpening iron, you know, that both of them got to be tough. And so if you're in a relationship, you got to have thick skin. You know, I don't know, maybe because I'm the pastor, I don't know, but, you know, people sometimes just say stuff to me, I just like, I mean, not really. You know, the average person, you know, I knew it would have hurt him. I knew it would offend him. I'll tell you the story. I'm keeping it real far away from here, right? Because this happened years ago. But you know, I remember, I've told this story before, that somebody came up to me and said, man, that hat is too small for your head. I mean, that's not supposed to hurt. I mean, I'm styling and profiling, right? Right? So, I mean, I had to let it go. I had to just say, okay, you know, I'm not going to, you know, because the same person, you know, ended up in the hospital, and I had to go visit him, minister to him. Right? So, I mean, You got to have thick skin. You know, if you're in a relationship, you got to have thick skin. You know, a lot of people, you know, we would like to think being around a bunch of God's people that we're never going to have anything offensive said to us, that there's not going to ever be any wrong thing done. You know, but you need to wake up. Come on into the real world. You know, somebody said to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, now that's quite a different story. And so, you know, we need to realize that offenses are going to toughen up. Now, I'm not giving the people who want to run over and bulldoze people, I'm not giving them a license to do that. You know, no. You know, God is going to deal with them. You know, God will deal with them. But people, come on, man. Toughen up a little bit. You know, one thing that I'll say about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. One thing I will say about both of them, they got thick skin. You know, at the end of the last presidential debate, what they said, can you guys say something nice about each other? know, if they would ask me, what can you say, what nice thing can you say about both of them? I say, y'all both got thick skin. Because, I mean, there's dirt and more dirt and more dirt being brought out. But they just, I mean, you know, yeah, they just keep rolling. How come the saints, you know, man, we're so fragile that we need to toughen up. Man, it's going to happen in relationships. But you got to be strong. You got to man up, woman up, buckle up. You know? Or as I, you know, you got to put on your big boy and big girl Fruit of the Looms. Have thick skin. Have thick skin. Learn how to respond to anger. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So, you know, at some point, going down Penn Avenue yesterday, all right? Traffic is backed up, right? I'm about 10 cars back from the light. There's a lane. This lane right here is the turning lane. The turning lane, right? Somebody went, came to the light when it stopped, and when it turned green, they got in this lane and went. Man, I was ready to take off, pull up behind. Man, come on, man. Then you see everybody else waiting in line, and you just going to pull up beside everybody and get up, get in front. See? We can get angry before we know it. We can get angry before we know it. And so we need to have the ability to recognize, I'm just leaving the grief ministry concert. Just been worshiping, had a great time, you know, listening to the worshiping God, man, I'm praising God. But just that quick, man, that quick. So, you know, we need to be ready that when something happens that stirs up anger, that we need to have the ability to be able to cool it down. And just not let it get out of control. And so when an angry person comes against us, guess what's going to happen? If we come back with anger, it's just going to escalate. That's that. I mean, I remember my wife and I think it was last, no, it was year before last. We went to Seven Springs for our wedding anniversary. And we were coming back, right? And it had started snowing. And there was a little snow on the ground, a little icy. And so we're driving down the turnpike. And then all of a sudden, I hear a bam in my car. My car starts to skid, and I pull over. And it's this guy, you know, he's driving in this tow truck. And he hit my car. And so he pulled up and got out, and I got out of my car. And the guy, I mean, he was walking, man. He was walking like this. And I said, oh, man, don't let me have to get up in this guy's face, man. I said, so, right, I'm ready, man. You know, man, you hit my car. I'm ready. He comes up. He gets up. Now, he almost getting to me, right? Now, I'm getting ready to do one of these numbers. And he said, oh, man, I'm sorry. He said, man, I don't know what happened. The trailer just slipped and hit you. He said, I mean, and just that quick, it was diffused. And that taught me a lesson. And the lesson that it taught me was that if you bring anger against anger, it's just going to make the situation worse. And that's why Proverbs says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir it up. And so we see here is that we need to learn how to respond to our anger. We need to exercise control over our words. Notice what I said in the notes. Oftentimes, look what I put there. That was no act. That was no mistake. Now, I do make mistakes in these notes, but this is not one. Oftentimes, the relation, what? Ship. Oh, y'all didn't think that was cute? No. The relationship is sunk by the torpedoes of words. Come on, man. I put a lot of time into that one. No. All right. Life and death are in the words spoken. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Norman Wright, he says that words are like bullets out of a high-powered rifle. Once you pull the trigger, you can't reach out and bring them back. And so, we need to realize that life and death are in the power of the tongue. That your words can speak life to the relationship, or your words can speak death to the relationship. And you need just that. And once it's out there, you can't get it back. Now you can work through the process of forgiveness and restoration. You can work through, but once you put it out there, it's out there. And so you need to realize the power that your words have. You might think that, they don't have a lot of power, but sometimes just the most insignificant and meaningless conversation that you might have, and then you say something, and you don't know how deep that wound went. That's why you got to be careful. You got to really be careful what you say. And, I know I've said stuff, and, again, I know some of my illustrations are old, but I remember when I was out in Colorado, they had a Sunday night service, and we would go to service on Sunday evening, and there was a lady who was playing the piano, and I remember walking in, when she was playing, before the service started, bringing everybody in, and I remember I saw her, and I thought to myself, I said, man, how come she not smiling? And so, I'm going to be the sheriff of the Durango Baptist Temple, the smile sheriff, right? And so I'm going to go up, and I'm going to say, you need to smile when you're playing. And I could just see on her face, And I'm like, stupid. Just that quick. Just the words that I said, just affected her countenance immediately. And so be careful with your words in relationships. Words can cut or heal. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword. So some people can speak and it can cut you like a sword. And the tongue of the wise is health. So words can either cut or heal. Gossip can kill a relationship. Gossip can kill a relationship. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer, and that word whisper actually means gossiper. A gossiper separateth chief friends. Those who are the best of friends, gossip can kill the relationship. And then think about your words before you speak. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So think about your words. Think about what you're going to say. And just don't let, some people say, I just let people know what's on my mind. And sometimes you've shown that your mind is not very large. So, think about the words that you're going to speak. And again, now keep in mind, this message was not directed toward husbands, wives, families, all that. It's just in general that these principles in general will help you to be able to function in a relationship. And so the last thing, exercise self-control over your actions. People who are in relationships with others must not only discipline their tongues, they must also discipline their actions. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Having rule over one's spirit is to exercise self-control in one's actions. So we are called to control our actions and, again, to discipline ourselves. So as we think about how to build and maintain healthy relationships, let us keep some of these things in mind. As I close, I want to close with this story that I was reading. Emperor Frederick was an emperor in the Roman Empire in the 13th century. He did a cruel, and not only cruel, but he did a crude experiment. He wanted to know man's original language. He wanted to know if a person was left alone, you know, what would be the language that individual would speak? Because he thought that, you know, it would either be Latin, Greek, or Hebrew. And so he was thinking that, well, what was the original language of Adam and Eve? And so he wanted to know this. And so as he performed this experiment, one of the things that he did is that he isolated infants at birth. And he isolated them from any human voice. He hired nurses to come in and to feed these little babies, to clean them, to hug them and give them the nurturing that they need. But you couldn't make a sound. You couldn't verbalize anything, because the point of the experiment was to see what language these children would automatically speak as they grew up. And as the experiment went on, now again, you can read this, so this is not something I'm making up. I would find it hard to believe if I hadn't read it myself. And that is, after several months, the babies began to die because there was no verbal communication. They began to die. And as I thought about that, I said, isn't that why God, in our very DNA, wow, in our very DNA, God has built us for relationships. You know, when you think about God, you know, God in eternity past, God was just not there all by himself trying to figure out, you know, what to do, waiting for the world to be created. There was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they had intense fellowship. And we are created in the image of God. And so we are designed for relationship. And that being the case, isn't it a wonderful God that would say, I realize that there's going to be some problems in relationships, and so I'm going to give you a word. And that this word is going to help you to be able to work through the relationship problems that you have. And so, a burning question on the heart of people: how do I build and maintain healthy relationships?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How Can I Prosper in Today's World? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.